You're listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. And joining us today, Larry Parnas with the Berkshire Eagle, the investigations editor, and Mike Dobbs, managing editor of the Reminder newspapers. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hampshire College will be announcing the first round of staff layoffs in the coming days. This comes after the college decided to admit only 77 students as part of its new class next fall while they continue to search for a so-called strategic partner. Here's Hampshire President Miriam Nelson.
We will give at least 60 days notice, so that this is not like somebody has a week before they leave.
And faculty cuts are expected as well, although there's no word quite yet when those will be announced. Larry, Hampshire employs about 400 people, including 250 staff members and about 150 faculty members. The education field is a large source of jobs in Hampshire County. What about the economic impact layoffs could have on the area?
Oh, it'll be significant and it'll be immediate. I believe some layoffs are going to be announced next Tuesday and then again April 1st. As the college retrenches, significant effect on the Amherst area and broader. And, you know, quick disclosure, I attended that school many years ago, and I feel for this whole situation here. There's going to be continuing reviews of how the college has gone about this move to a smaller school, gambling on a smaller school. There's a lot of questions to be looked at here, and I believe there's a call-in expected today to the Attorney General's office asking that there be some oversight of this nonprofit organization's operations.
Mike, all these announcements, looking for help amid a shaky financial future, the small incoming class, the layoffs, all are not good news for the college. What do you think about the way Hampshire is communicating all of this?
Well, I would venture to guess that this is a problem that hasn't just popped up now. This is a problem that's been around for quite some time, and it's simply reached critical mass. And, you know, there's two ways that you can handle a problem like this from a communications point of view. One is alerting people years ago when they started realizing this kind of thing and trying to work to a solution. Or the way they've handled it now, which is basically to say, guess what? Our hair's on fire. We're running around. We're seeking a solution. And unfortunately, what's going to come out of this is that people are going to be hurt. People are going to lose their jobs. Students are going to not know where they're going to college.
This week, five Springfield police officers were charged in their role in a 2015 barroom brawl. The officers, who were off duty at the time, are accused of kicking and beating a group of civilians during the skirmish, and at least one used a weapon, leaving a victim with permanent injuries. The officers pleaded not guilty to the charges, and according to the Associated Press, received a five-day suspension without pay and then administrative leave. Mike, this is just the latest incident where Springfield officers have been charged. Two others are facing federal charges in connection with an incident where they allegedly used excessive force during an arrest in 2016. Are these problems in the past? Or is there still an issue here at the Springfield Police?
No, there's still issues, absolutely. And we have a couple of things that are going to come out of this. And one is going to probably be a stronger public response to the concept of having a police commission, a civilian police commission. And also, I'm sure there's going to be a stronger response about trying to hurry along the process of getting body cameras. We're in the process of getting body cameras for the city's police. However, at a recent city council meeting, Commissioner Barbieri said that it may be anywhere from 1 to 2 years away.
Larry, your take?
Boy, body cameras will not be used when they're off duty, right?
That's true.
Yeah. You know, it's the whole – there's a cultural question here, and I think last time we talked about this, questions about how much time has elapsed. The police commissioner said recently that that an internal – investigation will resume. You know, there's a lot of looks going on in here, and it's really the FBI and the AG's office that have moved this forward. I think that that raises public confidence questions. Of course, all of these five officers newly named, we knew more was in the pipeline here because of what was revealed last fall with the arrest of Jose Diaz was the officer. So these men are presumed innocent, and we'll have to see.
And now let's check in on expansion of broadband internet service to our rural communities in western Massachusetts. Some towns in Franklin and Berkshire counties are considering a wireless solution to bring high-speed service to their Towns and others have been working with cable companies to get things up and running, and all of this is after the state changed its approach to finishing the so-called last mile to get that service in place. Larry, you wrote about this recently. So from the region as a whole, how do things stand?
It's costing about $1 million per house to get these things put together. No, I'm kidding. That's not a real figure. We're now looking at the last of the last mile communities that are trying to find a solution here. And most recently, four of the most forlorn suitors here in this broadband bingo finally have an approach to getting this done, which is a wireless system. It's the only one in Western Massachusetts, central Western Massachusetts, except for town of Warwick, that has taken this approach. It's going to be far, far cheaper than building a fiber optic broadband. The towns of Savoy and Florida in Massachusetts aren't going to pay anything municipally, paid for by the state grant. It'll be subscriber borne. But, you know, what's the cost of that? This service is not going to be as fast and as economically competitive as the other fiber solutions.
Mike, here we are in 2019. Are you surprised there are still places that continue to struggle with this?
No, and I'm not surprised about that, nor am I surprised that we aren't talking more about municipal broadband. Because essentially most communities, you've got one choice, especially up here. I mean, there's other communities across the country that might have more than one choice for broadband. We're not among those areas. And frankly, I think that when you see what the small towns are doing, that's their form of a sort of a municipal broadband.
Yeah.
And this is something that is being looked at in Chicopee very hard. It's something that I think every community ought to consider.
It's the next front, Adam. As you know, you've reported on this. These towns that are small and out of the way that now have super fast gigabit connections. Meanwhile, in Pittsfield, Williamstown, and North Adams, places that have the inventory of real estate to house some new businesses and startups, they cannot offer competitive broadband speeds, and that's the next challenge.
All right. Larry Parnas with the Berkshire Eagle and Mike Dobbs of The Reminder, thank you so much for stopping by today.
Thank you.
Great to be with you.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast hub. Also, listen to Beacon Hill and 5, our weekly check-in at the Massachusetts State House. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.